The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
The word of God be in my mind, on my lips, in my heart. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowds, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell within its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Have you ever met a weed scientist? I'm talking about the grass, not the weed that makes you crazy. In these years of climate change and higher food prices, weed scientists study how to live through adversity. According to Louis Ziska, who has a laboratory just outside of Baltimore, you can learn what grows better in changing climates, not by studying what is dying, but by studying what is thriving. Weeds that grow in the worst conditions help us understand what makes an edible plant grow. When everyone else sprays Roundup to rid their lawn of weeds, Louis Siska keeps healthy things alive and learns to sustain life. By now you have noticed that Jesus, when talking about parables, he uses a lot of imagery, and today, this weekend, is the second time that he is using agricultural imagery. Last weekend, he told us about, in the gospel, about the parable of the seed and the sower. And I gave you the example of the squirting cucumber. Today, he gives us another agricultural imagery of the wheat growing together with the weeds on the same field. Now, Jesus was not a weed scientist, but he did know how to learn from plants as long as believers stop trying to weed out problems by themselves. In the book of St. Matthew, which is today's gospel reading, he tells us a good news and bad news parable. First, the good news. The kingdom of heaven began with the Lord's arrival. His kingdom is like a farmer who has sown wheat. One day it will be fully ripe, and the Son of Man, Jesus, will return and gather everyone up in bundles, and we will live eternally. Now the bad news. The kingdom of heaven is still growing. Jesus did not eliminate evil when the kingdom began. That's why he says, God lets the sun shine and the rain fall to both the good and the evil. The cross stops evil in its tracks and reverses the power of evil over our lives. That's why we always do the sign of the cross. In my home country, the tradition is when you pass by the church, you make the sign of the cross. You trace the sign of the cross. Even in my family, the first drops of water from the shower fall on my head, it's in my family that we have to make the sign of the cross. I don't know where it came from, but it has been the tradition of my family. So that's what I do until now. People still do wrong and sow seeds of destruction in other people's hearts. As the parable illustrates, malicious people sabotage the farmer's fields. He has sown the good wheat, the good seeds, and then he slept at night, and the enemy planted the weeds. Even if someone stayed up all night, there was no way to stop these evildoers. Again, this week's reading sound a note of questioning, and it has always been the question of humanity, even before Jesus was born, even during the Greeks, the time of the Greeks, the perennial existential question. Why does God permit evil to grow alongside the good? Why doesn't God just eliminate all the evil people? Why does God permit some to reject the word of his kingdom? And if you are doing your homework, which is to read the readings this weekend at home before you come here, you will know the answer. The answer is in today's responsorial psalm. Why does God permit all these things? Because God is slow to anger, abounding in kindness and fidelity. Jesus assures us that God is just. God is not only merciful, he is also just. So, for me, I would always like God to be merciful. I don't want to say, please God, be just, be fair. Because if we say that, he will give us what we ought to have. But with mercy, he will always be merciful and kind, and with compassion, treat us. And so, in our not-so-perfect world, there are many weeds growing around and among us. But truth be told, we can be real weeds ourselves. We are quick to point out the weeds that surround us and make no secret of our willingness to uproot them and cast them into the fire. But sometimes we are the weeds who hurt others. Our self-centeredness brings ruin to the garden that we all share. Sometimes we undermine the harvest we all work for. Our greedy sense of entitlement takes up all the air, the water, and the nutrients of the soil, leaving others in desperate poverty. It was also self-centeredness that made our first parents disobey God. They wanted to be morally independent from God. What did God say to them, to Adam and Eve? You can eat everything that is all these fruit-bearing trees. You can eat all the fruit except for the one in the middle. And what did they go to? Where did they go to? In the middle. And what did the serpent do? Because that time the serpent can talk. Is it true? That's the seed of doubt. Is it true that God told you not to eat the fruit of this tree? Because you will die. That's not really true. When you eat the fruit of this tree, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. And that's what they wanted, to be like God. They do not want to be like human beings as they ought to be. That's self-centeredness. And so the gospel today challenges us to recognize our own weed-like behavior and respond to the call of Jesus to become wheat. Wheat that becomes bread for all. Wheat that feeds and supports others. Wheat that selflessly gives itself for the common harvest. If you study the life of the wheat before we are able to eat the consecrated bread that we have, that we receive in communion, that wheat has undergone a lot of processes. The farmer somewhere in Oklahoma or there in the Midwest, who is the wheat farmer, has to plant the wheat, nurture it, and then when it's time for harvest all the wheat and grind the wheat to become flour. And that is the imagery that Saint Ignatius of Antioch gives us during his martyrdom. When he was thrown by the Roman Emperor into the Circus Maximus to be eaten by beasts and lions, and he prayed to God, "Lord, make the teeth of these beasts grind me like wheat to become the bread that will be the Eucharist." Everything, there was a lot of processes. And then when the flour is ready, the nuns, we used to order our host from the Trappistine nuns in Sonoita until they closed their bakery. What do you do? Flour plus water makes bread for the altar. No oil, no sugar, no salt, no honey, no sesame seeds. Water, flour makes the bread for the altar. And so, the Lord Jesus also gives us the mustard seed as the second parable today. When I was a seminarian, part of our class during the winter quarter, before we transferred to the semestral system, we had to, it's not mandatory, but it's good to go there. Part of our winter quarter is to spend the whole 10 weeks in the Holy Land, in Israel. In my case, it was only 8 weeks. We were delayed for 2 weeks because of the problem of Israel with Lebanon. And we went to this garden called Neyot Kedumim, where all the plants in the Old and New Testament are planted. That was the first time that I saw on the palm of the tour guide the mustard seeds. And from that seeds come a big bush where all the birds take rest and refuge under their shade. Jesus tells us that we must have faith even the size of a tiny mustard seed. And this is mustard seed faith, to realize the presence of God in the smallest, most hidden moments. To ignite a spark of God's light in the midst of unremitting darkness and pain. To reveal God's mercy in focused, visible ways, no matter how simple or ordinary. We find God in the ordinariness of our lives. Don't look for special events to find God. Even the prophet Elijah found God not in the earthquake, not in the whirlwind, not in those big events, but in the stillness of a voice. Christ calls us to whatever little we have and we are. in order to bring God's compassion and forgiveness into our own families and communities. The gospel mustard seed, the smallest and humblest among us, are enabled by God's Spirit to do great things that become the kingdom of heaven here and now. Don't ever think that the kingdom of heaven is there, beyond the skies, that we go there after we die. No, the kingdom of heaven is here and now, because the kingdom of heaven is Jesus. And when you receive Jesus in the Eucharist, you are in the kingdom of heaven. You receive the fullness of the kingdom. Not the fullness, it's half of the kingdom. Because the fullness is when we die, when we see God face to face. And so, even Saint Teresa of Calcutta says, do not think that you are called by God to do great things. Just do little things, small, simple things with great love. The third parable that Christ provides us today is the yeast. A small amount of yeast mixed with 3 measures of flour can make enough bread to feed over 100. And if you remember, during the pandemic, almost everyone learned or at least attempted to learn how to bake bread because of boredom. Who among you here tried to bake their own bread during that time? Please raise your hand. Were you ever successful? Or did you just order from Walmart and had it delivered? I have a friend from Globe who just discovered how to bake bread without going to California. That bread is like the Portos. Have you know the Portos bread? With the cheese inside? You have to try it. She made the hack how to do it. God's compassion and grace are the yeast that Jesus speaks of in today's gospel. The yeast that makes our lives and communities rise above tragedies and devastation, transforming such sadness into joy, despair into hope, death into life. I just told the 7:45 a.m. people that we have a very, very bad news today. Mass shooting in Tucson. 2 died and 6 are in critical condition. Please pray for them. In baptism, we are called to become yeast for our community and church, raising up life when all seems dead, bringing healing and joy to those from whom we are estranged and separated, restoring hope when all seems overwhelmed by despair and sorrow. We will find a lot of despair and sorrow on this earth. And so we need to be strong in our faith, as St. Paul says, so we can help those who have weak faith to become strong. And even though we do not know how to pray as we ought, the Holy Spirit of God will intercede for us, St. Paul promises us in today's second reading. We always don't know how to pray as we ought. But sometimes we do not need to say something or utter words in order to pray. When you visit the Blessed Sacrament in the chapel, you just need to be present with Jesus in the tabernacle. You don't need to say things. You don't need to be like the Pharisee who is babbling all these things. Just like be the publican who says, have mercy on me, God, a sinner. We don't need to say a lot of things. We can be alone with the alone. Jesus is alone in the tabernacle, and then you give him a company, and that is your prayer. And so, we need to first of all turn and call upon God. We must commit ourselves to letting the good seed of his word bear fruit in our lives with the yeast that is the Spirit of God. Our flour, whatever we have and whatever we can do for the good of others, becomes the means of recreating our world in the peace and mercy of Christ. We can be helpers of Christ in recreating the world in his mercy and peace. Like yeast that transforms our flour and water into bread, the bread of the Eucharist, which we receive from this table, this consecrated bread makes us Eucharist for one another, transforming our lives and the lives of those we love. That's why the deacon after the Mass says, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. And how do you glorify the Lord out there when you go back to the real world? By living your life as a Christian. The deacon doesn't say, go, the Mass is ended, let us all stay here and have a camping. No, we are sent out there into the real world to be Eucharist for one another, to be an altar Christus, to be another Christ to each other. And then that those graces, depending on how patient we are with others, will be depleted. And then we come back again on Sunday here to be replenished by that grace that God gives, transforming our lives and the lives of those we love in compassion, forgiveness, and peace of Christ, the bread of life, our daily bread. Amen.